it's amazing when you think about how often we get to see God. Kay was telling us about her dad's kitten and how she prayed and he got his kitten back. And things like that we just take as, oh, well, what a coincidence. But they're not. God loves us that much that he wants us to know that when we ask, he answers. And it's just such a blessing to be able to come together. And Scripture says, even more so as we see the day approaching. And Eddie talked last week about getting to watch Lucifer bow before Christ. That day, in reality, not just a 45-minute presentation, is about to take place. And we need that fellowship with one another. Where we could be, there are thousands of places that we could be. The fellowship with one another as we see the day approaching is what God has asked us and called us to do. So what a blessing that we can come together. We want to look at Hebrews chapter 12 this morning as we continue through Hebrews. We had a little hiatus last week as we talked about discipleship and what it means to be discipled. And the whole concept about everything is really the first chair experience. And we want to look at Hebrews chapter 12 this week, because as we finished up chapter 11, it's about all these people. And then he says, too many to actually write about. If we actually wrote about every single blessing we received, there wouldn't be enough ink or paper. The fact that you take your next breath, or the fact that you just had a breath, is a blessing from God. And when we begin to look at life like that, it's just too overwhelming. And we need to be overwhelmed by God and his power and his presence and the process he takes us through. So let's bow our heads before we get back into his word. Father, we just praise your name for, Father, the idea that you are a God who is well able. And Father, for the fact that you called us here today, because you have a message for us. So Father, once again we pray, annihilate the servant, resurrect yourself, your Son, and your Spirit, so that your Son might be lifted up, so that your Spirit might be poured out, so that you might be glorified. Father, accomplish it because you promised it, and we receive it in the presence and the power and the promise of Jesus Christ. Amen. Chapter 12 begins actually referring back to chapter 11, because he says, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. And that is the beginning key. The reason we begin church the way we begin it is because we want us to know how blessed we are, how powerful God is. And Thursday, when we went into the storehouse, something just didn't seem right. Well, the big walk-in freezer is gone. Yeah, it's the compressor went out on it. We didn't know that till yesterday morning when they got there, but we knew it wasn't cold. And so we can either let something like that be all consuming to us, or say that God has a plan and a way out. Now, I have no clue how God is going to take care of this. And I know this sounds dumb, but got olive oil and went in and put it on the freezer and prayed. So I don't know if that freezer will work or be repaired or healed, but I know it's in God's hands. And this says we can either let what's happening around us consume us, or we can place it in God's hands. Here's the thing. If it's in my hands, you know what? Even to fix it, I don't have the funds. Now, I did go online, and I can get another one, half the size, for $8,000. So that's good news. The bad news is we don't have $8,000. The good news is we can get the one we have totally refurbished for less than $8,000. The bad news is we don't have that $8,000 either. The good news is we know who does. See, and so when you place it in his hands, yeah, there used to be a song, "That's Life." You're dating yourself if you remember it. What's life? A magazine. Well, how much does it cost? It costs 50 cents. Well, I've only got a nickel. Well, that's life. And for 2.5 minutes, that's all they said. Whoa, that's life. What's life? A magazine. How much does it cost? It costs 50 cents. Well, I've only got a nickel. Whoa, that's life. What's life? A magazine. How much does it cost? It costs 50 cents. Well, I've only got a nickel. Whoa. That's what this is saying. You can either be consumed with what you see going around you, or you can be consumed with a cloud of witnesses you just heard about. Noah and Abraham and Daniel. And every week in church, you hear people say, "I had this problem I was facing, but God showed up," and we just sang the song, "But God is in the house." That's where Hebrews wants to start. In chapter 12, you know, so it ensnares us. We can either do that, or it says, "And run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the Father." People, we're not here as Christians just for freezers to break, for cars to go bad, for financial difficulties to come upon us. We're here for the joy that lay before us. If all Jesus came for was to die on the cross, that would be a testimony so sad. But for the joy that lay before him, we endure what we endure because there is something better ahead. The idea of driving 12 hours to get to Florida is kind of mind-boggling. Until you hear someone like Gloria say, Splash Mountain. Yeah. It's for what lies ahead. What are we going to do when we get there? We had friends who were going to Disney, and they bought a new car to go, new used car. They bought it from a private person, and so there was no warranty. On the way down, the transmission went out. And they had a choice. They could either use all their Florida money to fix the transmission or start searching for jobs and live where the car broke down. So they already had their room paid for in Florida, and they decided to get the car fixed. The problem was, once they got there, guess what they didn't have? Money. To go to Disney or SeaWorld or wherever. So they went to the Chamber of Commerce and found all the free things there was to do. Now, they didn't drive 12 hours. They were from New Jersey, so it was 15 to 17 hours, besides the time to get a new transmission. Needless to say, the kids were not excited. They got the tour Orange Groves for free. They even got a free orange. They got to go to the beach for free. Of course, wherever you live in New Jersey, you're never more than 60 or 70 miles away from a beach. But that's not like driving 17 hours to go to one. See, what is it that lies before? If they knew, what are we going to do? We're going to drive 17 hours. And then once we get there, what are we going to do? We're going to go to an orange grove. I can't see Gloria coming back and during testimony time saying, they were the prettiest groves I've ever seen. What is it that lies before you? And is it worth the journey? It doesn't say let us run the race. It says let us run with endurance. That means it's not always something you want to do, but for what is going to happen at the end, you're willing to do it. So the first thing Hebrews wants us to know is that the earth, the world, the family, the work will try to ensnare us and get us to concentrate on it. What God says is, yes, life on earth isn't that great. However, what I have promised for you. See, Don was able to give us his testimony about a clean bill of health. But what God has for him is a clean bill of health. The idea that there will never be another visit to a physician. That's a clean bill of health. The idea that you will still have birthdays, but you will never stop having them. That's a clean bill of health. That's what's set before us. And so Hebrews wants us to understand, we run through what we run through so that we can get to what God has promised. And he says that therefore, know what happened in the past. So then he talks about how to get there. It says, for consider him who endured, in verse 3, such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. I don't care what you're going through. It isn't as bad as what he went through. It's not as bad as what Jesus suffered. In struggling against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And it isn't talking about the whip that went across Jesus' back. It's talking about the garden experience. He shed blood before Calvary. Is sin so offensive to you that blood begins to come out of your pores? That's how offensive it was to Jesus. We haven't resisted to that point. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That is what he's talking about that. We don't struggle. We resist and we resist and we resist and we talk about this idea about death before dishonor. The whole idea we talk about in the Constitution with our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Our fortunes are much easier to give up than our lives. Because usually, at some point, people will break. Now, you're not supposed to. But at what point do you break? Jesus wants us to know that there is no point. Now, are you tempted? Three times, Father, if it's possible, this is not Jesus. You know, we always talk about Jesus volunteered for Calvary. Who else was there? Who else was there? It's kind of like, I remember when I was at Southern, they wanted to hire this fella. They really liked him. He was a fire marshal in Louisiana. And they really thought that McKee Baking Company could use someone with his talents. So they told him, they said, bring us your resume and we will develop a job description designed to your resume. And so he took him his resume and it said at least 15 years experience, had to be through this school and this school and this school. So many years as a firefighter. So many years with Class A fires. So many years fighting this kind of fire. And they made it so it was designed for him. And then they posted it in the company. And he didn't get the job. Because there was somebody else who already worked for McKee that had the same qualifications. So it doesn't matter. See, human resources thought, if we can just design it for, the man's name was Jerry, for Jerry, and they told him, they said, give us your application. As soon as you come, we'll submit it. There's nobody who can, we've checked human resources. Not perfect, evidently. We've checked our records. There is nobody that qualifies. There was one. And he got the job. Here's what God said. We need someone to rescue humanity. Here's the job description. Must be without sin. Everything else, good at carpentry, Let's face it, there were other good carpenters. You know, obedient to parents. Rich young ruler, I've done all these. What commandments? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. I've done all that. But the job description was without sin. Not has sinned and had it forgiven. Must start where Adam started. And so, he says, in struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. What price will you sell out? At what price, Jesus says, are you going to say, I just can't stand it anymore? Did you just see the case up in New England where the man broke into the house, poured gasoline on the children, raped the wife, raped the children, and then burnt the house and the children and the husband who was forced to watch it all? What would you have given if they would have said, you know, first they sent the wife to the bank and said, if you go get money out of the bank, clear out your bank account, we'll untie your husband, we'll let your children go, and we'll be done with it. Evidently, she didn't bring enough back. $15,000 was all they had. What would he have done? At what price do we say, when God says, be still and know that I am God? See, that could be translated, be still and still believe. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or faint when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and punishes every son whom he receives. Remember who wrote that. That's from the Psalms. If anyone knew and knows that the Lord disciplines sons and daughters, it was David. He knew it. It says, endure it as discipline. People, I don't know if you've ever been at the place where you think, I just don't know if I can bear one more straw. My back is about to break. I remember I had insured a prisoner of war from World War II. And he said how they would feed them is they would take the food and throw it into the cattle manure and then stir it around and then say, there's your food if you want to go get it. At what point do you say it's not worth eating? At what point do you break? You're either going to break for God or break for the world. Scripture puts it this way. Either you can fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock will fall on you and break you. Your choice. But understand, everybody breaks one way or the other. That's what Eddie was talking about in testimony last week when he said, I got to see Lucifer bow before Jesus. That's his breaking point. He was broken. Bow now or bow later, but you will bow. Hebrews wants us to know discipline isn't to punish us. It's kind of a direction correction. Try to get us back. It's the GPS, the God positioning system. The idea of you're going astray. I need to pull you back. If you're like me and most others, we don't like being corrected. I mean, there's a whole industry called lawyers built on getting you money just to correct somebody else. And I've told you before, my dad's principle was when they made my mother blind in one eye and when they took out my sister's ovaries instead of her appendix, the next time, sir, you live a week without making a mistake, call me and then I'll sue. You know, and I used to think my dad was crazy. You know, he was crazy. We were farm late. We wouldn't have to work on the farm during the summer. And now it's harder because now my mom only has one eye. Oh, she had the other one. It just didn't work. It would have been so much easier. What was he trying to teach them? I don't know if he was trying to teach them anything. I know he was teaching me something. That vengeance is his. And that you have to endure. One thing I learned, and you know, between growing up in that household and being in the service, you know, Kay has that set of Nurtaki china only because I learned something. I can't play cards that were not dealt to me. Yeah. By the time she notified me, remember I told you it took 6 days for a letter to get from me to her and then from her back to me is another 6 days, 12 days. By the time I got the letter, yes, I would like some Nurtaki china, we were out of Japan. But I could play the cards that were dealt me. There was a fella who had some. He had just bought it for his wife. Yeah. And he says, you want to play poker? And we were playing poker. And he was out of money. And he said, I don't have any money left. I said, well, you can stay in the game. He said, I have nothing. I said, you have that china. Service for 12. You can only play the cards that are dealt you. He walked away from the table without the Nurtaki china. You can't, people, I can't deal with your problems because I haven't been dealt them. I can only deal with the ones. And Hebrews is telling us, look, God is taking you. The hotter the fire, the more precious the blessing. The hotter the fire, the more pure the gold. The brighter you will shine. I don't know what you're going through, but I know what he's taking you to. And he endured for what was set before him. It gets better than this. Mr. Southwick was the prisoner of war. And I'll never forget. I said, how could you eat that stuff after It had been stirred in Menor. And he said, because I knew the Allies were coming. I knew it. He said, and I would hear the German planes flying overhead, and I'd say, someday, they're not going to be German planes. And I'd wipe the manure from the potatoes, he said, on my skin, trying to get as much manure off it as possible, and then I'd eat it. He said, I had to stay strong, because I knew the country that I left, and I knew they wouldn't leave me here, and I had to endure. He said, endure it as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. If he loved people, it's easy to say when things are going good. Even when we're having good times. Kay said one time during the week down at Disney, she said, you think tomorrow we need to call for a cart for you? I mean, my bilimpal had kicked in. And, you know, this leg would kill me. And I mean, it's hard enough keeping up with Kay. But trying to keep up with the carts, who can't keep up with Kay? Yeah, couldn't even keep up with them. But I knew, Eddie, I knew, yeah, mission to Mars was waiting for us. And for what lay before us, yeah, God saying, you know what? I know you're going through it. But there's a day coming. There's a day coming, brothers. There's a day coming, sisters. And he says, but if you are without discipline, which the revised substandard version would say, which some receive, this says, which all receive. If you are without discipline, you are illegitimate children and not sons. How many of your sons many times over? Think about it. If you're without this, if everything always goes right in your life, then you're illegitimate. He says, you're not sons. Furthermore, we had natural fathers discipline us, and we rejected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? I don't know how long. I even suggested to Kay, I said, Kay, why don't we go to Disney when Dr. Brooks goes, the chiropractor? This way, I can at least get adjusted so I can keep up with you. Yeah. We'll take him with us. Yeah. He says, furthermore, you know, we reject that from the fathers. To teach us, shouldn't we submit even more to the Father's spirits? For they discipline us for a short time based on what seemed good to them. But he does it for our benefit. The end of that verse, verse 10 says, so we can share his holiness. Hebrews 12:10. I don't know about you, But if I had to endure so that I could endure and endure and endure so that I could go to Mr. Southwick's and eat a POW meal, thanks but no thanks. But he says, we can share if we endure what he puts upon us. We get to share the supper of the Lamb. My goodness. Can you imagine what is the fruit going to taste like there? Yeah. There used to be a song, there's just two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. There's a difference. Imagine what it's like not getting all the nutrients. When God says organic, he doesn't mean no sprays. He means back the way it was when Adam picked it. That's organic. When you go into a store, and all of us will go soon, look at the pumpkins. Not the pumpkins, but the pumpkins. That will be a tomato. And if you don't like tomatoes, pick your favorite fruit. That'll be a mango. That'll be an orange. Yeah. And the good thing is, it will taste as good as it looks. I fool people when I go shopping. Yep, that watermelon sounds good. And I get it home and it tastes like... Yeah. I mean, I'm tone deaf. What am I thumping it for? Yeah. So other people think I know what I'm doing? Yeah. I'm better off going eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I'd have as much chance... But there's no such thing. And so he says, we, in verse 10, can share not in our holiness, his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the fruit of peace and righteousness, not to everyone, but to those who have learned, who have been trained from it. Not everybody learns. Just because the lesson is out there. Young people, you're in school. Now, I know you're in school. I know they teach the same thing to the entire class. Why doesn't everybody get the same grade? Some just choose, like I was in school. I mean, my theme song was, we got to get out of this place if it's the last thing we ever do. Yeah. That song came out my senior year, and I knew God sent it for me. Yeah. They came up with the middle C. That stood for Charles. Yeah, let's just get him out of here. Yeah. And and that's what this is saying. You can either learn it. Now the same child who would take F's in speech class, got A's in preaching. What's the difference? I learned. When you get discipline, you can either reject it and say, this isn't fair. Why me, God? And then you lie by saying, I'm a good person. What did Jesus say when they called him good? There is none good. See, he was prophesying because he would take sin on him. is none good. Don't call me good. What did the angel say? Now, I don't know, but my thought is, angels who come down from heaven, having committed sins, and when they fell down at their feet, said, don't call me good. And yet we say, I'm a good person, God, why me? And he says, because there's a gem I want to make, and I need pure gold, and you're it. So I'm going to turn up the fire. And you hear the devil, one of the neatest things, and I tell you things that happened at Holy Land Experience, because when you go, it'll be different, because it wasn't the same as the last time we went. But when Pilate was speaking, Lucifer came up alongside of him. And every word Pilate was saying, I wash my hands. And Lucifer's over there going, I find no fault in this man. And Lucifer's going, there is none good. I'm getting you ready for something big. How can I get my son to endure that? First the garden, then the trial, then the beatings, then the scoffing, then the cross, then the gem. The finished product. He didn't go from the Judas kiss to the resurrection. If Jesus went through it, what makes us think? Use me, Father, however you want. On second thought, use me, Father, the way I think. Use me, Father. I pledge my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor. The last campaign we had before a running mate was picked, John McCain and Barack Obama. Well, I was hoping Hillary Clinton, but, you know. And I told people, I said, I can't vote for John McCain. I just can't. And they said, why? I said, because when he was a prisoner of war, he broke. And he gave them information that he shouldn't have given them. I can't cast my vote for someone like that. I just can't. Because I know the oath we took. Basically, that's the military pledge. My life, my 12 cents an hour that I made when I was in, and my sacred honor. That's what kept Mr. Southwick going. MacArthur, I shall return. That's what kept Mr. Southwick going. I know they're coming for me. I know that my sacred honor. Be honest. Be honest. Do you want to be used by God? This much or this much? Father, send me. I'll rescue them. Refine me and make me what you need me to be. One of his own betrays him. The church tries him. The world beats him. Then his people crucify him. talk about being refined. But because of that, he endured for what was set before him. And he has ascended to heaven and sat at the right hand of the Father so that we can share in his holiness. Therefore, strengthen your tired hands and weakened knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. People, God is going to take us into things and through things so that he can get us to where he needs us to be. He wants to use you. He wants to use you, and he will use you through disappointment, through discouragement, through depression, through aggression, so that ultimately, we can sit down with him and he can say, come, inherit what I have prepared for you. Share in my holiness. It's a done deal. But it didn't happen in a classroom. It happened on a battlefield. It wasn't decided in a courtroom. It was decided on a battlefield. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Nothing brings joy like what Eddie said. An angel came down the aisle and had this golden chain and wrapped it around Lucifer. After he had already submitted to Jesus, he bows at the feet of Jesus. And he takes his golden chain and he wraps it around his wrist and then around his waist and then around his... And he leads him, drags him away to be destroyed. Your choice? You can either fall on the rock and be broken, or you can have the rock fall on you and be broken. Bow now, or bow later, but you will bow. He wants to make you into what he created you to be. Keep your eyes open. Watch what's going on. And be people of sacred honor. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we think about what God wants to do with, through, and to us, Father, sometimes it's scary. Well, Father, we'll be honest. Most times it's scary. However, Father, we wouldn't have it any other way. You have called us to this place for such a time as this. You have raised us up not to be what they or anyone else expects us to be, but, Father, you have raised us up to be who you created us to be. And so we come, steadfast, and pledge to you our sacred honor. Oh, Father, time seems short, and troubled times may seem they're coming ahead. But use these times to refine us and make us those who can be tools in the hands of the master craftsman once again. Shaping lives. Father, shaping communities, shaping cities, reshaping the world. Father, use us to glorify yourself because you've promised it. We claim it and we receive it through your promise and because of your power. Amen. Scripture says it this way, and I know all of us at one point in our lives or another, and if you haven't been there, you will question it at some time. But understand, it does mean what it says. For I know the plans that I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. My plans are for your welfare and not for your disaster. My plans are to give you a future and a hope. Please accept my plans. Because once you do, you will call on me and you will come and you will pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart.